Today on the podcast, we had the privilege of interviewing Elise Milam. Elise guides clients into relaxation and stillness with a variety of conscious breathwork techniques, visualizations, mantras, and music. She empowers students to reconnect with her intuition through transformational breathwork that helps clear mental, emotional, and physical blockages causing tension and disease throughout the body system. Breathwork dissolves tension, fear, stress, anxiety, trauma, and PTSD naturally within 10 to 45 minutes by inducing brain and heart coherence. It also rewires the nervous system from fight, flight, and freeze to rest, digest, and heal. Elise curates artful breathwork journeys that reprogram limiting beliefs, somatically releasing heavy emotions buried deep within the body, balances and realigns the mind, body, and heart to re-spirit. It's a mouthful, but I think we actually honestly covered most, if not all, of what her bio speaks to of like what she does with her breath work. Yeah. And she was very interesting, and especially her story too, just how she got into breath work. And she, just how she was like an account executive and just felt this like yearning to do more. And just what really surprised me about her, and what was, I guess, that stood out to me the most, is how she was so quick to follow her intuition and like follow what spirit was telling her to do. And I really admired that about her, because like I was just thinking about my original journey too, and how when you do follow that and like you kind of go boldly into that, it's really cool like what starts to happen.
Yeah, like synchronicities.
Yeah, and exactly.
I can echo that point, because I feel like Elise and I are very similar in that way, where, and you actually did, you said this at my wedding for the best man speech that you do for me. So like that, I always follow my heart, and like that I'm like the best one that you know in your life that follows her heart. Yeah. Elise is exactly the same way. And it's no surprise then to, I think it's only been a couple of years now, her journey of not only getting certified, trained in this, but then actually teaching and supporting people in this. But like, you could tell like she has a not only wealth of knowledge, but there's a depth of experience that she knows, like she lives with what she teaches. So I think she was the perfect person to talk about breath work and really guide us through that, which, it was really brilliant and eye-opening for me even.
Yeah. And we hope you guys get some good nuggets from this and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy to understand scientific research, so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started.
Today on the Science and Spirituality Podcast, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Elise Milam. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Milam.
Milam. Okay. Elise Milam. I guess I should have asked that beforehand, but welcome to the podcast, Elise. Looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Same.
Awesome. Well, we always love to begin this way of having you share your story, how you got into breathwork. Because, you know, the little bit that we had talked before this and when we even set up this recording, you did share with me a bit of your story, but obviously for the listeners, they have not heard. So share your story, because I know you were not doing breath work before you obviously got certified.
No, I wasn't. I've had quite a career change. So my story is, I was an account executive selling large format out of home advertising sales, billboards, light rail wraps, wallscapes for about 10 years for two different companies. It was really fun until I felt like I didn't have mentorship. And I was making the level of money that I wanted to, but I also had to shut down a lot of different parts of myself just to survive in that corporate, misogynistic sales environment. Not all of them are like that. Unfortunately, mine was, and I knew that. It was a trade-off I made in my 20s. But there comes a point where you're like, I can't see myself like everybody else in my office, right? I want something different. I need a new environment. So once I realized that, I started kind of looking for, what's my purpose? And I was going to therapy, and I was aware of certain dynamics that I wanted to let go of. But then I started negatively looping in talk therapy, and I needed more somatic release work. And I did this energy program where breath work was introduced to me. It was a bunch of different healing modalities, to just a bunch of different techniques to release, essentially. So I was ready to release. I just didn't know how to do it. And we were writing forgiveness letters and burning them and doing breath work. And I released more in my first two breathwork sessions than I did in 2 years of talk therapy using crystals. And I was like, what is this? If I need this, other people do. I feel so much better. I just became a different human. And that's when I decided to do more of a breathwork program. And it was a 6-month container with a bunch of healers and yoga instructors. And I was just this stressed out account executive that couldn't handle their stress levels and wanted something new. And this felt right. And it felt aligned. So that's how I got into breathwork. I've had magical, mystical moments that are very psychedelic just from breathwork experiences alone, where it has definitely been guided by spiritual entities or energies that I can't even explain, that are like, yep, this is the path for you. Keep going. So once you get little sips of that, you just keep kind of following your heart. And after the 6-month breathwork container was over, I was still working in advertising sales, but I didn't want to do it anymore. But I was missing this embodiment piece. You know, who am I to go from account executive to breathwork facilitator, healer, guide, energy coach? And I really struggled with who I wanted to breathe, who my audience was. And once I landed on the name for my business and got clarity on the audience I wanted to breathe, which was stressed out people like me, as soon as I declared I want to support healers, which is really anybody who's willing to show up and do the work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A shamanic path opened up. So, you know, I did. All these things just started kind of happening in a domino effect. And I put my breathwork business on hold while I went to shaman school for another 6 months and dived really deep into energy medicine and chakras and shadow work and core wounding and shamanism in the most beautiful ways. I mean, it was 6 months of shadow work, essentially, with a bunch of strangers online. But these people were like rolfers and healers and wizards and witches and yoga instructors as well. And much older than me, but I would have practice sessions with people from Jerusalem on Saturdays and Canada on Saturdays. And we would just heal each other online. And it was beautiful. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to learn energy medicine. And then if I can learn the secrets of the universe in 6 months, it's going to amplify my breathwork business. I'm going to do that. My entire family thought it was crazy. They're like, what? Breathwork is a hobby. Shamanism? What? Hmm. And my stepdad was like, you know, I did that Buddhist thing for 10 years. And I said, and was that supportive? And he goes, absolutely. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up with ReSpirit Breathwork. And my trifecta of services and offerings are, the core is breathwork, obviously, conscious transformational breathwork. There's many different types of breathwork. Shamanic energy medicine for people that want to go deeper. It includes extraction, soul retrievals, energy medicine, chakra work, crystals, all that. And I'm working on my Pilates teacher training certification. And what's beautiful about that is it's all about bringing people back into alignment and balance and finding weakness and instability in the physical body. But there's kind of a mind-body connection that comes online too. So it's an interesting trifecta, but it all works well for me. And I think it, sets me apart from other healers in the community too. Mm-hmm. And that is a 500-hour accreditation. So I won't be done for the next 6 months. So right now I work at a Pilates studio part-time while I am building my partnerships for ReSpirit Breathwork. And in the future, if I could have ReSpirit Breathwork and Pilates healing studio and employ tarot card readers and other healers in the community and maybe have a wine bar on the corner,
yes.
That would be ideal. You know, like some community events or dancing and then a healing studio.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know that was a lot. It's taken a long time to get this like clarity in where I was going.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that story in such a succinct way. Clearly you are, I mean, you use the word embodiment. And to me, that's just a reflection. It seems like you are embodying more and more of your purpose. Like you said, you embarked on that journey of purpose. And yes. Not that ever ends, but like, it seems like you are embodying that more, which is really beautiful to see. And such a great example to the world, like really an inspiration so that more people, and I'll even say more women, can actually step into their own purpose, because that's sorely needed in our world.
It very much is. And energy medicine, which is what breathwork actually falls under as well, is definitely more of a feminine approach. Mm-hmm. It's a softer way to move through the world. And that was also radically different from my sales account executive background, which was very masculine and very yang and very...
Sorry.
It was just very different. I remember waking up and crying the day I graduated from shaman school, and I called my mom and she was like, "These are happy tears." And I said, "Yeah, I feel like my being has changed. I'm about to move through the world in a very soft, feminine way. And I'm really grateful for that because nobody teaches it."
Right. I have a question. Just, this is going to be going back to quite the beginning of your story, but you mentioned that after going through talk therapy for a while, then you noticed and recognized that it wasn't going as deeply as you wanted. Because I'm thinking of someone listening to this. My question that I think might be other people's questions is, how did you know? Like, was it just that there was a synchronicity that happened? Is like then breath work or like these opportunities came into your awareness? Or like, did you get an intuitive hit? Did you find something? Like, what was that shift for you? Because like, how would someone know if like it's time or they need to go deeper to release it somatically?
Yeah, I didn't really know that. There's two reasons. Yes, I had synchronicities and premonitions in talk therapy, psychotherapy. I'm a big fan of talk therapy for bringing issues, like normalizing issues, right? So bringing awareness of issues, and then you can work through them at the level of the mind, but you can only go so far if you've had a traumatic experience that you're trying to let go of, because the body keeps the score, right? Mm-hmm. The body's the one that needs to release that energy that never got fully processed. So I knew talk therapy wasn't working anymore because I wasn't feeling better. I would get really charged, like negatively charged in a trauma response or a trauma loop, and really vexed. And then I'd have to go back to work. And I was like, this isn't working anymore. You know, and she would give me practices like journaling. You need to be meditating every day, this, and that. And I was doing that. I was reading books that she recommended. I was meditating, and my meditations were profound. I started saying some really strange things like, "May I be of service? I want to do higher order work. Help me find my purpose." And it just kept coming up, "May I be of service? May I be of service?" And I was like, "Where is that coming from?" Because it's just not really in my nature or my family's nature to do that. And okay, sorry, I digress a little bit, but the fun is in the details, right? So I would negatively loop and I couldn't release it. So talk therapy wasn't working for me anymore energetically, at the level of the mind. I couldn't go deeper than I wanted. But I had a really good therapist that would drop me into meditation subconsciously. And there was one time where she was like, "Go to a safe place." And I went to a treehouse. She was like, "Okay," you know, my eyes were closed. She's guiding me through this visualization that's coming from my mind, my subconscious, right? And she was like, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm in my bedroom." She was like, "Okay, is anything with you?" I said, "There's a cat walking around. There's like a bookshelf. There's a window and it overlooks a forest and there's trees." And like my bedroom kind of came to life. And then this was a kind of a subconscious visualization for my family dynamics that I was trying to work through and release like PTSD from family dynamics in talk therapy. I'll cut it short though. So long story short, this nature treehouse visualization came and I was yelling at my family members. I'm like, "Dad, Mom, Kari, Jeff," and nobody could hear me because they were in their own little world in the treehouse, very disconnected from each other. And I was walking out. She was like, "So what are you going to do?" I said, "Nobody can hear me. There's nothing for me here. I'm walking out." So I walked out of the tree trunk. She was like, "Okay, is anything with you?" And I said, "There's a book." She was like, "Anything else?" I said, "There's almost this like wind energy, Moana spirit that's like playing with me and taking me to the beach and picking up a coconut and bringing it to me." And when she brought me up, she was like, "Interesting. I think breath work, not breath." She said, "I think breath or air is going to be important for you." And I said, "Who knows? Random." You know, to me, that was one of my first experiences with going into a subconscious state with somebody guiding me in person. And I was surprised how vivid my imagination got. And since then, I've had that entire family tree house come to life. I visited rooms. I've had my inner child, who was like 7, wearing a green dress. Once I healed part of her, dancing with me and checking on everybody. And then about 6 months later, I always get a premonition of what I'm stepping into about 6 months before I do it. And I meet somebody that is supposed to be a mentor or teach me something about it. This is a pattern of mine that I've noticed. And 6 months later, I was introduced to conscious breathwork with an energy program that I decided to do. And that was really random as well. I make heart-centered choices if something feels aligned, because I'm claircognizant and I'm clairsentient. So I just follow my heart. And if my gut intuition says this feels aligned, it's normally the right choice for me. So I met this girl at a bar in Denver years and years ago. And then I followed her on Instagram and she became an energy coach. And I messaged her and I was like, I don't know where you're learning all of this, but I like what you're tapping into. I feel like I'm going to be in the space with you someday. And I want to hear what you're learning. And she was like, I have a beta test for my energetic transformation group. It start, let's have a call. So we had, what do you call it? Just like a call where she was like, where are you at in life? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it was this $2,000 8-week online energy program. There were 10 girls in it. I had no idea what I was stepping into. And I remember telling my stepmom, I'm about to spend $2,000 on a program and I don't even know what I'm going to learn, but it feels like what I need to learn right now. She goes, when do we ever invest in ourselves? So I did that program and I'm so glad I did, because it was exactly what I needed energetically instead of talk therapy. And it was in, again, a group container with a bunch of different women learning secrets of the universe and all those things. So that's how I found breathwork. And my first 2 breathwork sessions with her and crystals were so profound that I went back to her and said, I don't know where you learned your style of breathwork, but I want to do the same program. Mm-hmm. And I also have this pattern of, I get pushed to a stress point about a week before a major change and I have to completely surrender. And then all of a sudden I'm on a new path. And I reached out to her and she goes, you're so lucky. Class starts on Monday. We only enroll twice a year. You can be in my breathwork pod. I'm a facilitator coach. So I did an 8-week program with her on her own. And then she was part of the Pause Breathwork facilitator program. And yeah.
That's awesome.
It was, I mean, it's even more awesome than that. My final commission check was the exact amount of money that program was.
There's the synchronicity.
It was a Saturday before. And that happened again with Shaman School the Saturday before. I can't make this up if I tried.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Which that's a beautiful thing to hear too, because then that means that it was aligned. Not those decisions where you were following your heart really actually were like breadcrumbs to more of what you're here to do, which is awesome to hear.
Absolutely. But I get help. Like I can't do it alone. And I'm constantly surprised, like who enters my fields, who offers support, how it comes to me. And then, it's beautiful. Once you kind of step into metaphysics, life becomes a lot more magical, mystical, synchronistic, and aligned, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to say, Kevin can speak to that. Being a life coach, I was just thinking, Kev, about what Mary would say about like never. I don't remember the exact quote. Maybe if I start saying it, you'll be able to finish it. Something about like never being surprised.
Oh, that's Bob Proctor's. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So, yeah. And who Chris is referring to, if you're not familiar, but is our mentor. Her name is Mary Morrissey, and she learned this from Bob, who is also another spiritual teacher. He wouldn't even call himself a spiritual teacher, but he was very spiritual. But he would say, I'm never surprised anymore, but I'm always amazed, because, you know, those magical synchronicities, the mysticism is coming up. Like it's because we're aligned, but you know, it still is coming into our life in amazing ways. Like, we can't make it happen, like you said, or make it up, but we know that like why it's happening is like, oh yeah, because I'm aligned, because I'm emitting a certain frequency that is exactly what I am feeling called to do and bring in. And then boom, out of the blue, something happens. So it's awesome.
It's so humbling too, right? You're like, right. Well, that was miraculously beautiful.
Yes, exactly. I'd love to transition now to talk further about breathwork. I know, because I love the trifecta, as you shared, of like what you bring forth, and maybe there's aspects of the shamanism that you can or maybe do just naturally bring in. But let's get into the topic of breathwork, because especially someone listening in to this podcast, I know that, and I imagine you might recommend this, but I'd love to hear your point on this, that you recommend maybe having a guide anyway, like yourself, like you go to a breathwork session rather than like certain techniques you might do on your own, which I'm sure there is as well. But like you said, like having a guide, having someone support you is extremely powerful. Yeah. And that's how we met, just for the listeners. We met because I went to a breathwork session of yours at Nurture here in Denver. So anyway, wherever you'd love to start, because you are the expert here in terms of breathwork and the facilitator. So someone, let's imagine someone's a beginner, because most people I think listening to this would be, like where you'd start, or even like introducing what the heck is breathwork. And I know you have a specific type, so I'm going to pause because I just said a lot of words. So you take it away.
Well, I do want to circle back to your experience with the breathwork session. Absolutely. Sure. But, I have two definitions for breathwork. One is more of a layman's term, because I can unleash a lot of woo on people very quickly, but I have to rein it back. So breathwork, the most simple definition to me is fully exercising the diaphragm, 360 degrees. Mm. We become very shallow chest breathers and stressed over time. So when we actually like open up the intercostal muscles and let the diaphragm expand fully, the body starts clearing the energy meridians, your blood gets more alkaline, your muscles relax. I mean, prana is intelligent. It's going to go where it needs to go and clear stuck, stagnant energy if it can reach those areas. So breath work is a beautiful way to let the body do the work and clear itself, if you will. So that's one definition, fully exercising the diaphragm. The second one is to balance the body. It's to the point of yoga, which is what breath work stems from, pranayama, the art of breathing. The point of yoga is to yoke the mind, body, and spirit. So I like to say the body is always in the present, because it is. The mind can be 100 different places at once, right? It can be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, stressed about the past, and just the monkey mind is very hard to train. But what connects them is breath, and breath can only go one direction, out and in. But you can play with different breath patterns, and in doing so, you actually evoke different emotionality throughout your system. And what breathwork does is it almost like excavates stuck, stagnant energy throughout your system, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and then opens your heart chakra, opens your pineal gland. And if you do enough of it, clears stagnation throughout the body system. It also elevates your frequency, and it will make you superhuman. To me, breathwork is the ultimate act of surrender. It is a very intentional, conscious state of creating more space to receive. And that to me is very sacred work. I approach it as such. And I think a lot of people don't realize in my breathwork sessions how deep we go, but that's also what they're looking for. You know, they're looking for something to bust them open, transformational energy work, typically. But it doesn't have to be that way. I actually have more of a yin style approach to breath work, is how I describe it. I think there's very yin and yang style breath patterns. You know, yang is going to be very masculine, activating, Wim Hof, you know, breath of fire. Or there's more yin, which is softer, more gentle, slower, deeper. If somebody has a trauma history, which most everybody does, you know, you can get trauma from anything that's too much, too fast, too soon. It shocks the system and you get overwhelmed. Then a very activating breathwork experience, jumping into that, like jumping into Wim Hof, is not going to be effective or supportive. will actually overwhelm the system and all of your coping mechanisms and protectors will come online. That's what happened to me. You'll lock up. So my approach is a little softer, smoother. I do a lot to ground people in the beginning. I like to make kind of artfully curated breathwork journeys with music and mantras and intention, and then go deeper into reprogramming subconscious limiting beliefs based on themes and topics that people can relate to. So that's kind of my style. I call it conscious transformational breathwork, but I don't think you have to go do holotropic breathwork and like shock your body in the woods for 2 hours to have a really powerful experience. Most of my sessions, people are only breathing for about 30 minutes. So Kevin, this is a good segue for the breathwork session that you experienced. It was a charity event. There was a yoga instructor who kind of led people into Shavasana, which is the meditation pose. And then I took over. But in your 30-minute breathwork experience with me, what came alive for you?
I mentioned a word, if you remember. I was the first one to share. Because after there was maybe, 20 people there that we were asked, like, what is one word to describe your experience? My word was transcendent. And so what pervaded pretty much the entire 30 minutes, maybe it was like starting after like 5 minutes, like once we really started to get like into the breathing patterns, I started to really recognize that I was observing my physical form. And I've been meditating for 10 years. So I have a strong connection with my spiritual nature.
Yes.
Who I am as a soul. So it wasn't hard, or it wasn't shocking, like, oh my gosh, like this experience, but like, it was amazing how quickly and easily that state was accessed. So that was phenomenal. And the other thing that I found over those 30 minutes was that, I was not expecting this. I think I'd heard or known about this, but that, the body gets really activated. Like you start tingling, and I had a really interesting sensation in the last like 10 minutes that my forearms were feeling like lead. Like they were extremely heavy. And so I think that was some form of release, and it felt like really like, oh my God, like again, just like this drop of something. I don't know exactly what I would say that I've dropped a release, but it was something.
Oh my gosh. I love all of this. I think one of the things I love most about breathwork and the work that I do is people's shares, because everyone has such a different experience physically, emotionally, spiritually. So I do remember your word. You were the first one to share transcendent. It was a good one, packed a punch. And I think I posted it later on my
nice
social media because I liked it so much. But breathwork, yeah. So it takes 8 to 12 minutes in meditation to drop out of the mind and into the body. How long do you typically meditate for, Kevin?
It's like 10 to 15 minutes. And honestly, sometimes I don't access that state.
Yes.
Like it's hit or miss, like more often than not now. But yeah, it does take, honestly, it probably is about 8 to 10, 12 minutes. Although, you know what's funny? Over the last like year or two of meditating, I have used a very small form of breathwork where I'll slow down my breathing and focus on that for the first like 5 minutes, breathing in slowly through my nose and then exhaling slowly, more slowly out through my mouth as if I'm breathing through a straw. So like I've learned that like very basic kind of pranayama so that it can support. So I think I'm already doing breathwork to support my meditation anyway.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I love that. Okay. So it takes 8 to 12 minutes to drop out of the mind into the body in meditation. It takes 4 to 7 minutes in breathwork.
Nice.
So it hacks the system. So it is so, first of all, efficient, because who has time these days to meditate for 45 minutes? A lot of people make the time. That's the thing. You have to make the time to do breath work and to meditate or to slow down. To me, it means really to regulate oneself. But so 4 to 7 minutes in breath work. This is why I call my sessions kind of a breath work healing workshop. They're more workshop oriented because I pepper in some teachings and some breathwork hacks that people can kind of integrate throughout their day or their week. Because there's so many different ways to do breathwork, right? But
whatever
is going to be integrated more regularly is going to be the best fit for that person's lifestyle. So I like to say, you know, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, 15 minutes midday, or a 45-minute kind of meditative session, like you experienced, every two to four weeks would be good, because that really needs to be integrated, that experience, because it goes deeper. I like to think that my sessions kind of demystify pranayama a little bit, because it's such kind of a mystic Eastern philosophy that people think can only be accessed with yoga. And it's not, but, you know, pranayama is one of the eight limbs of yoga. I'm going to kind of circle back to shaman school. So I actually got 50% off shaman school. I got a partial scholarship because I wrote an 8-hour essay on what I wanted to do with breath work and energy medicine and chakras and audio recordings and how I wanted to kind of bring breath work to my community. And I played a game with spirit. I was like, okay, spirit, if shaman school is the way, because to me, it felt very woo-woo. I didn't even know what the word shaman meant. If shaman school is the way, and now's the time, the money will show up in my bank account at the right time. I like to play games with spirit. So I got the partial scholarship, and then the money showed up in my bank account the Saturday before school started. And I was like, I was sitting at my kitchen table, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to start school on Monday. My friend was across from me, and he's like, what school? I was like, oh, shaman school. When you make a pact with spirit and spirit answers, you take action. That's how that works. So again, the Saturday before, I was enrolled in another program that was 6 months and kind of put everything on hold. But one of the reasons I got that scholarship was because shaman school acknowledged breathwork is the doorway for everything. Breathwork is really the doorway for shamanic energy medicine journeying. She's tapping into something.
I was listening to, I forgot if it was a podcast or if I was reading something, but they were talking about, because what's so cool about breathwork is that we're always breathing all the time. Like, and it's such a unconscious process, but it's one of the only processes in the body that is unconscious if you're not paying attention to it, but you can actually make conscious when you are paying attention to it. And this is beautiful bridge between the autonomic nervous system and our conscious awareness. So it's like, it's beautiful. And I think more people, once they realize that, they can bring in like, okay, cause some people like I think I'm a type of person that like would love to hear science about all this stuff. And I understand the science of breath work because, you know, we've had people talk about breath work before in the podcast. And like, I understand like the connection with the nervous system and stuff, but if you want to speak a little to that, I think that'd be great for our listeners to kind of really ground it for some people who are maybe more like science minded. Cause I think we have those two audiences on the podcast being science and spirituality. So if you can touch a little bit on that, that'd be great.
Absolutely. I also feel like so many speakers and healers are bridging the difference between these worlds now, like Joe Dispenza. You know, he talks about his series Rewired, which is just 20-minute segments, which is an expansion of his book, which is super dense and hard to read, but Rewired on Netflix. Beautiful, like 10 segments that lands in meditation, you know, and his blessing of the energy centers meditation was actually very powerful for me. You can buy it online for like $30, but I don't love his voice. It bothers me a little bit. So I learned how to do it myself, and then I just do it faster. So there's so many benefits of breath work, and I have a website. I list all the benefits of breath work on there for the science-minded who want like concrete facts and proof, but essentially, breathwork is the fastest way to alkaline the blood, which is the best way to ward off viruses and cancer. Cancer can't live in alkaline environments. So I didn't get sick for 2 years when I was doing my breathwork. I was getting breathed by other people in my program. I was breathing them, and then I was practicing with family members. So that was really profound for me and my own kind of healing journey. Kevin, what you felt, the tingling sensations, did you feel tingling in breathwork? Yeah. Yep. That is the pH of your blood changing and getting more alkaline. It's a weird kind of feeling. And it happens where you have more space throughout your body, like your sinus cavities. So you feel a lot of it up here, or where we hold a lot of tension, like jaws. You know, that's why people chomp in their sleep. What else? Breathwork harmonizes systems in the body. So I've heard 6-count breath. So six breaths per minute is actually the sweet spot to harmonize your blood rate, heart rate, blood pressure, all the systems in the body kind of come into balance with that. Now, the average person, the average American, breathes about 15 to 20 breaths per minute. So we are very overactive breathers. That is putting us in a very stressed state all the time. So anything people can do to kind of slow down their breath more will be beneficial. It takes 3 breaths per minute to be ready for shamanic journeying. That's how slow you have to go. And the whole point is to create stillness. To create stillness and like radical presence. And from there, you can actually become the observer, right, of your life. You can, what breathwork does, similar to meditation, is it builds more neural pathways in your brain. So you can take a step back and analyze your choices instead of being in a reactive mode. It creates space, right? Physically, emotionally, spiritually. You sleep like a baby, your skin and all your organs get a hit of oxygen, which is what we need. I mean, if you think breath, life begins and ends with breath, we breathe air. That's what we're meant to do. It's one of the most underutilized modalities, I think, in our Western culture.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's the fact that it kind of came out of the Eastern philosophies, and we in America or the West are so scientific minded, and we want to see like concrete evidence for stuff that, like, I think Western societies didn't even care about it for a while because they're like, we're not going to study that. It's not worth it. We're going to go the pharmacological route. And I think now more and more scientists and stuff are starting to turn towards it because a lot of people are starting to leave Western, like, I guess, typical Western medicine because it's not working for them anymore. And they're searching out for more things. And more people are starting to find things like acupuncture, massage, and breath work, and all these other modalities that they're forced to study it now. It's like, okay, we'll finally look at it. And now they're finally looking at it and they're like, wow, like there's all these windows into the nervous system and this stuff actually works. And I think some of them are actually a little upset with it because they're like, there's no way it could be that easy. But, you know, the body does have this tremendous ability to know exactly what it needs to do if you give it the right conditions. And what it sounds like you've been saying this entire podcast is like breath work puts it in the right space to actually let things come up and move.
Yeah. I mean, I think breath work is the answer for most everything. I didn't even talk about the nervous system. Obviously, that's a big science component. One of the best indicators of longevity is lung capacity. And I don't know where else it's measured unless you go to an asthma specialist, the doctor. Doesn't even do that. You know, your regular PCP, primary care physician. The only way people really exercise it is with exercise, but then we're still not really measuring it. I have a Lumen, which is kind of fun because it measures your metabolic, your metabolism through your breath. So I can kind of gauge how it's changing, but breath work is exercising the diaphragm fully so you can actually breathe properly. And my breathwork program taught us the quality of your breath enhances the quality of your life. They're directly correlated.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it dived into, so it was a trauma-informed breathwork program, and it dived so deep into psychology and rewiring the nervous system and how most people live in a state of fight or flight. And breathwork will turn that off and land you in rest and digest and heal. And it also, I forget if it turns on the amygdala or off the amygdala.
Probably off.
Yeah.
I'd say off. Yeah.
but that's how memories can come online. So it's excavating anything that is surface level that's ready to be released. And your body's only going to give you what you can handle. Like the body is so intelligent. Like I'm 35, so my brain is 35 years old, but my body is ancient, right? It's so many generations of humans and whatever. I don't know. This is getting into spirituality, so I can say reincarnations I've had. But when I started doing shaman school, I started clearing generational trauma very quickly. And it was very disorienting because we were diving into energy medicine and spirituality and healing from that direction, which is completely opposite of Western medicine. Western medicine, and I'm using this weird example because Western medicine is like physical, heavy, dense. You're treating the physical body. Then you have your mental body, your emotional body, and then you have your spiritual body. So when you do, when you make a change in the spiritual energetic world, you're going to get tested. Does what you chose up here match what you physically, mentally, and emotionally are choosing? And then the last change you see is actually in your physical being. When you do energy medicine work, it's very different.
Mm. Well, makes but sense.
The best mix is both, you know. I'm a big fan of multi-pronged healing, attack something from a mental, emotional, physical approach, and blend a mix of therapies, because people's systems open differently. People's systems unlock differently. That was one of the things that a healer told me. I like going to metaphysical fairs and getting healings myself, because healers need other healers, right?
Definitely.
And one of them said, you know, the breath work suits you as a shaman. And I was like, I can't be a shaman. I don't even know what that word means. I knew as a healer, I didn't know what type. She goes, well, the breath work suits you because you almost unlock your students. And I do feel like that's what the work does. It's opening hearts and pineal glands so people become the best versions of themselves, and they go off and do their work. They don't need me that often. So I really struggle.
Let me say, that's a sign of a good doctor or healer when the patients don't come back. That's like the point.
That's true, but it's not good for client retention. Although I've had a lot of people come back to my breathwork sessions, and I have to do my spiel. Normally, Kevin, I have more of hey, this is what can happen during breathwork. You can get tingling sensations. Your body can feel heavy. You can get tetany, which is like lobster claw, where your body tightens up and locks up. So I have more of those warnings in my workshops, but I didn't have time in that charity event because we had to cut it short. And people were already in kind of a very open state from the yoga anyway. But yeah, a lot can happen during breath work, and it can be very disorienting. And I've heard some horror stories from people that whose system opened too much, and they didn't have a good guide. And they didn't feel safe, and they didn't feel grounded, and they had like an out of body experience, and they didn't like breath work after that.
Wow.
So I mean, everybody's system opens differently. Some are self to self, some are source, God to self, some are self to other. But if somebody's had a traumatic experience with somebody else, they might not be other to self. So
I actually have a question, because I was looking at like your bio before this too, and you mentioned the importance of doing this in community and how like healing comes through community. And I just wanted you to speak a bit to that, because that really hit me, that line, because especially with the way the world has changed over the last few years, with a lot of things becoming remote and people being shut in their houses. And I know a lot of that's changing now, but I feel like this sense of community has been lacking lately and it's been deteriorating. And so if you can just speak a little bit to the power of like community and healing and what your experience is with that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I like to say that if isolation kills, connection heals. And we heal in community. You know, we're not meant to be lone wolves. I think that's what makes people sick. When we can be witnessed by somebody else in our pain or in our joys and celebrations, it heals us. It heals our bodies, our psyches. Being able to function and work with other people is important, because relationships are the work. And there was a concept in shaman school that really stuck with me called Aini. It's like a Native American term for harmony or balance or right relationship. So it is being in right relationship with yourself, with the world, with God, with your community. And that really stuck with me. It's very hard to do, you know, it's very hard to stay in right relationship all the time. I've met a few people that can do it. They're very slow movers. I don't think they have normal jobs, not normal 9-to-5s in society. But it's one of the ways to be radically present and balanced. I can't move through the world that way. I would like to. I'm going to start. I try. But I'm excitable and hyper by nature. So breathwork kind of calms me down. I'm also a manifesting generator in human design. So that is not my energetic makeup. I slow down and then I beeline a hard direction, but I can go the wrong direction if I don't create that stillness to get the right guidance on the direction I'm going. Mm. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know I'm talking about human design and energetics and metaphysics. All these things kind of merge together at some point, but
they're all pieces to the puzzle.
They're all pieces to the puzzle. One of the reasons I do in-person community breathwork is because I don't feel like there's enough spaces for people to lament and grieve and really just let their emotions rip. I didn't have that. I always wanted it. So I'm trying to create spaces that are safe and where people can do that. So I had a breathwork session on grief and heartache. And I thought, okay, whoever shows up to this is going to be a very brave human. I think whoever shows up to my sessions and breathes with a stranger is courageous just by nature, because it does get very emotional. And a lot of people aren't ready for that. If they're new to breathwork, they don't realize how emotional it can get. But I'm trying to create themes that people can relate to make breathwork a little something they can connect with easier. And people don't want to approach their grief. You know, they don't want to bring up that can of worms because it's painful. Mm.
But it's stuck in there then, you know?
It's the only way to move through.
It's the only way to move through. The breathwork program I did taught us that if you can actually hold the duality of, you know, compassion and love and grace with whatever emotion you're experiencing, it diffuses and then it works itself out and then it's gone. And anger is like hot to rise. It needs to move. So punching pillows is really supportive. So just creating spaces where people can, in community, in connection with each other, witness each other in their pain, energetically move through it with each other, I think is really radically healing. And it's beautiful work. It doesn't pay my bills yet, but I love it so much. I just keep going.
That's awesome. I don't know if I'd said this to you after our session, but I'm holding that is absolutely the future for you and that it will come sooner rather than later. Because again, I think the world needs this kind of work.
Yeah, it needs more medicine like this. So one of the premonitions I got when I did that energy program that was 8 weeks, I had such creative blocks. I'm not a very vivid dreamer. My third eye closes a lot. So breathwork opens it, but my energy coach had us do a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan for where we saw ourselves in our future. You know, and I was still working as an account executive in sales and trying to work through my family trauma on the weekends in these containers, just because I'm interested in energy medicine, this stuff. And then diving into breath work and whatnot. But I had a block. I couldn't see where I'd be in a year. I couldn't see where I'd be in 3 years. So she was like, work backwards. I did a meditation and I saw myself, it didn't make sense at the time, but it makes perfect sense now. I saw myself hovered over people in like a forest and they were on yoga mats or something. And I was like, that was weird. I was coming over people before I even had my first breathwork session.
Wow. Interesting.
And I think I will be guiding like medicine journeys and integrating breathwork in more retreat style ways in the future. I hope so. I just need invites. But yeah, that was one of those sips of here's what you're stepping into. And I'm like, huh? What?
Huh? Right.
Yeah.
There's a timing to everything, but
there is such a timing to everything. It's funny too, because the name of my business is Respirit Breathwork. And all my friends, they're like, we have no idea what you're stepping into. Respirate, breathwork. I'm like, respirit, you guys, respirit is a word. Respirar means to breathe in Spanish. Like to respirit is to reinvigorate the body, right? To breathe life, force energy into it, to make it come alive.
Right.
And, you know, to me, it's so simple, but it's hard for people to pronounce for some reason.
Sure.
Because I obviously didn't know you before we jumped on this call, but I was on your website and I read it as Respirit and I understood it right away.
So nice.
It's not everybody.
Yeah. Well, I hope to apply for grants and stuff for my business. I've actually paid out of pocket for like 10 yoga mats, 10 bolsters, 10 blankets. I have pop-up breathworks stations. And one of my most exciting moments this year was getting invited to a cryptocurrency conference and working something called the Zen Zone. And I was like, sweet, I'm just going to see who shows up. But it was a place where people could get a Reiki healing, have tea, tarot reading, sound baths, yoga. And I had a breathwork station, and I breathed some very creative business executives from different industries that were at this ETH Denver cryptocurrency conference. And some people would come up and say, I do Wim Hof every day. I have a cold plunge. Like, breathwork has changed my life. And I'm like, yes, you get it. I have a cold plunge too. And then other people were like, do you do yoga? Never done breathwork. Mm-hmm. And I gave crystals away to everybody that breathed with me. And it was so, so fun. Everybody that breathes with me is like, I would absolutely do it again. I did have two people. One person was like, I was not ready for that. And I was like,
Right.
Thank you for that feedback. You know, it's not for everybody. I get that. And then, you know, music, people are so sensitive to music. So what I found is if people meditate regularly, they're comfortable with instrumental music. And they're comfortable with silence and stillness and being with their own thoughts. But if people don't meditate regularly, they need lyrics. Their mind needs something. Their monkey mind needs to hook onto something. Otherwise, they feel like things are too quiet, too still, too vulnerable. Hmm. And so I have to, that's why I always ask, do you meditate and are you sensitive to music? Because I've had one person walk out before.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think the speaker was right next to her. So I try to be very mindful of this. Now, I do breath work at the Pilates studio that I work at, which it's funny because it's not the right setup. There, it's not a big open space. There's reformers, which you can't really move. They're big hospital bed looking like machines. But everybody gets a little cubby hole and all you see is their feet popping out. Mm-hmm. But what I really need with breath work is hurting communities that are in chronic pain. Or healing communities that want to breathe in connection and community with each other. So like breast cancer survivor groups would be great. Any kind of cancer survivor groups or people with PTSD. And I almost feel like I needed more of the shamanic protections from shaman school to step into the trauma work that I am calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Definitely. Which, as we're almost at the hour for like our recording, but
time flies.
Yeah.
I was going to say we can even do another podcast at some point and maybe get more into like the metaphysical stuff. Cause that stuff is really interesting too. And I would love to do just Definitely. Talk more into that and kind of get like a little esoteric and stuff and see where we go.
I'm down for that too. But so what I wanted to ask as we're coming to a close is, for all, which I love everything you shared. It's incredible to hear the journey you've been on, but then also how you're blending things together, the experiences you've had, and obviously inspiring those listening to actually whether go to breathwork or at least be curious about it. But I'd love to hear from you, like even if it's like a simple thing that someone can practice, because you did mention at one point, like, oh, it all it takes is like 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Like, what would you recommend to say someone beginning or someone wanting to step into this on their own? Again, I personally, this is my own recommendation, but I have a feeling it's the same for you, that for someone to go to a class, like maybe one of yours, if they're here in Denver, but wherever they are in the world, like find their own place, they can be led by a facilitator or a guide. But if you can recommend like a simple thing for someone to do to get started with breath work, what would you recommend?
I mean, there's so many applications now too, Mind Valley, Pause Breathwork is the program I did and they have an app now too.
Nice. So
I think starting with guided breathwork, even if it's through an application or YouTube, you know, a short little video, 5, 10, 15 minutes is really all anybody needs to start with. Great. Is helpful. I think it's the way. It's hard when you're starting something to guide yourself, because the point is not to guide yourself. You're trying to unhook out of your mind. But eventually guided meditations or guided breath work becomes noisy because your mind is supposed to be following something when the point is actually to unhook the mind and drop into your body. And so I think listening to those guided sessions would be good. In person, nice. Absolutely. If somebody is doing guided community breathwork locally, go get a feel for their style. I love being breathed by other facilitators because everybody's style is so, so radically different. I found I didn't like most people's styles, so I created my own.
Nice. Yes.
I get so bored. I think intelligent minds that work quickly or move quickly get bored quickly. So if somebody's only giving me like two or three breath patterns and they're keeping me there for 30 minutes, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I almost have to like take over and do my own thing. So that's part one to the answer. Part two is experiment with a few different breath patterns. Just do it for 3 minutes and then do another one for 3 minutes and another one for 3 minutes. So you are doing about 9 minutes of breath work, three different breath patterns, and just see how you feel. It will radically change your physiology, your mental state, your body, and it's more effective than meditation. A lot of people that struggle to meditate would benefit from more regular breath work and just 5 to 15 minutes a day. And it's very simple, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that being said, I have a website. I have a link tree. I'm very active on Instagram. I feel like it's kind of random what I post if people haven't come to one of my sessions because they don't really know what my purpose is. But my purpose is to share knowledge and ancient teachings and secrets of the universe and energetics and trauma work and psychology. And on my link tree, I'm trying to get in the cadence at the beginning of every month to plan the next 2 months of my sessions. And I'm still looking for places to partner with in Denver if they have open space and tapping into certain communities so I can get more exposure. And this is a fun little story if I could end on this one. In shaman school, I did a soul retrieval. Somebody did it on me. And soul retrievals are where you retrieve like a divine part of yourself that flees during a traumatic experience. Then you reintegrate it into your life and you get like a power animal and things to help you reintegrate this energetic thing that you lost. And my power animal was an anteater. Spirit has a funny sense of humor. I'll tell you that. And this woman was so confused. She was like, I saw something really fuzzy with four legs and a long nose. I said, it was an anteater. I got an anteater. And she was like, it was really cute. And I was like, And she goes, what does this mean to you? Well, first of all, none of my parts wanted to come back. She was like, I saw this like angelic version of you floating and it didn't want to come back. It was like, no. And I knew why. It was like, I put my breathwork creations on hold during shaman school because I wanted to see what I would learn in shaman school that I would want to layer into my business. And I was like, now's not the time to bring re-spirit to the world. But she was like, okay, well, she didn't want to come back until you made things playful. The power animal, what does this mean to you, Elise? And I was like, it means I need to stay grounded and put my nose in little pockets of communities. Find little pockets of communities to tap into. And I was like, that anteater made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're kind of supposed to like deconstruct these pictures that you get from spirit. And it seems really random to the person who gets the information. But then when you do sacred drama with each other, it's amazing what unfolds. So if you guys know of any communities or places, Nurture is a great place to have those sessions. I'll probably be doing them once a quarter.
Nice. There.
Just need to put it on the schedule. I'm thinking of doing park sessions if the weather's nice, just Sunday, like Sunday scary breath work, because people get nervous before Monday rolls around. Once people start following me consistently, I would love to do online breath work, just popcorn style. You know, if people know they need a yoga mat, an eye mask, if they want to use crystals because they amplify energy, like it's cool to feel the crystals actually absorbing the energy you're moving out of your hands.
Interesting.
Oh yeah. I incorporate crystals in most of my sessions if people are open to it, and people are always surprised by how much they're vibrating or how hot they get. And that was my first experience with breathwork, was breathwork with crystals. So
that's amazing. I partner with
crystal stores too, and do breathwork there. But it's funny because a lot of my pictures look very seancey because everybody's, you know, with eye masks and blankets. But it's an experience. You just have to come and try it out. And then once you get a feel for my style, just pop online and breathe in community wherever people are in the world. That's eventually what I'll be working towards building.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing. And I know you did mention a couple of like links. We're going to have that all in the description of this episode when it releases. And so, yeah, if anyone is interested, obviously like click those links, check Elise's work out. And if you are here in Denver, clearly there's many opportunities that you have provided. And the beautiful thing about the podcast is that these episodes are going to live on for years. And so if someone's listening to this in the future, then you might be having some online work by the time they're listening. So yeah, check into those links.
I'm open to how these connections unfold. So I had my own session at Nurture. And then when somebody's putting on that charity event that you went to, they were like, hey, I'm looking for a breathwork facilitator. And they said, well, here's somebody who's done it before here. And that's how I even got connected to it.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. It's amazing how spirit works through these, you know, different connections of people. So.
And also it's strange to have a spiritual business. I'll tell you that much. I mean, spirit is in my business name. So that was a whole nother layer for me of stepping into my services and offerings. But here I am in shaman school. They said, don't hide who you are. When we hide who we are, we get sick.
Mm, interesting. Well, that's a good note as well, because Chris mentioned that we should definitely do another episode. I would love that on the more mystical side of things, your shamanism. Maybe you were, obviously there's a couple of stories you already shared on this episode with that, but maybe a whole episode on that. That'd be awesome.
I would love to do that. Sounds good, guys. Well, thank you for your time and listening to my stories. I got stories for years.
Yes. It's awesome. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Likewise.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton.
Or at Chris J. Carton. Or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.